Our sermon today resumes the series of our program theme for the year. God invites us to share in the Christ-centered life. And today we will talk about some, at least a couple, of the gifts that can be ours in the Christ-centered life. And so our scripture reading for today, the lesson is Psalm 23. And this is probably the only time you will hear me read from the old King James Version. But this is the version that a number of us, at least those who have hair the color of mine, perhaps learned this psalm. And I'd like to share this ancient version with you this one Sunday. Listen for the word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today, I bring you an old friend for our sermon, Psalm 23. I'm new to you, still here in this pulpit, and for well over a year now, you have had a number of guest preachers. Most, if not all of them, very good. But occasionally, a Sunday with a guest preacher or a new preacher can be a jarring, unsettling experience for a congregation. You settle in the pew only to be hit over the head by some strange biblical text preached by even a stranger preacher. You get poked in the ribs by a pushy preacher pushing an even pushier passage of Scripture. But not today. Today, partly because I am new to you, I'm bringing an old friend upon which to preach. Psalm 23. I cannot remember when I did not know this psalm. Can you? Even a person who knows no scripture or was not raised in a church is probably at least heard this passage of scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. I remember pictures from my childhood Sunday school class that featured Jesus as the good shepherd. And sure enough, when I went to our church's Kreischer Children's Library, a book on center display there had a picture of the Good Shepherd Jesus on its cover. Yes, the psalm is one for children, expressing a childlike trust in God's tender care, just as a shepherd cares for the sheep. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Restful, reassuring. Sheep don't drink alongside dangerous, swift-flowing rivers. This good shepherd finds the perfect spot for the sheep to rest and to be restored. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, pleasant memories of childhood fade. We look down a gradually darkening corridor towards the end of life. And there to meet us is not a dark abyss of death, but the Good Shepherd. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. One of the most comforting aspects of friendship is that it can last throughout life. We've been friends since elementary school, someone says. And as a pastor, I've been impressed that when life draws to a close for someone and it is their turn to walk in the valley, they almost always reach out for this old friend, Psalm 23. It isn't simply that they may know it by heart. It's also because it dares to speak about the end, that dark valley, and names it as a place where the Good Shepherd comforts us. So here is a scripture for the beginning of life and for the end of life. It's a rare funeral where Psalm 23 has not been invited to speak this word. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The minister William Wilmon points out that whenever in this life we have been forced into a dry desert or had to sail into a raging sea, it was this old friend who reminded us of green pastures and still waters and thereby restored our souls. When we strayed and wandered without direction or meaning, there was good old Psalm 23 to point out the righteous paths for his name's sake. Yes, my friends, when enemies such as illness or anxiety or guilt or anger, regret or fear and death turn on us, when life makes us wonder if God is really there for us, Psalm 23 puts comforting arms around us and reassures us of a good shepherd who makes, leads, restores, comforts, prepares, anoints, so that in darkness or light, life or death, we might dwell with God. Good old familiar, since childhood, comforting Psalm 23, which reminds us of still waters and green pastures. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But wait. Hold on a minute. A closer look in biblical commentaries at our old friend reveals something fascinating and new, at least to this preacher. What the commentaries point out about the original Hebrew is that one word here can be translated in more than one way. The word that surprises is that word translated as follows. Goodness and mercy follow me. But the word in the Hebrew can also be translated as pursue me. Think of it. Goodness and mercy pursue me all the days of my life. And so even in the presence of an old friend about whom we thought we knew everything, there is a ripple on the still waters. Pursue me. Here we are, plodding along in life, and oh yes, what's that following me? Oh, that's goodness and mercy. They're following me, tagging along, part of the Christ-centered life. Looks to me like they might be pursuing you. Please understand the following contrast. Instead of enemies hot on your trail, they are sitting in your presence at a banquet table prepared by the Good Shepherd, says this psalm. Instead of enemies pursuing you, it is God's goodness and mercy pursuing you. The Roman Catholic poet Francis Thompson put it this way: I fled God down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. And in the midst of tears, I hid from him, from those strong feet that followed after. But understand, these feet are following in love. Friends, no matter how well you think you know the God of Psalm 23, you don't know this good shepherd until you've realized that this shepherd is a pursuer. Willimon points out that there is a difference between looking over your shoulder and finding dear old predictable goodness with mercy in tow, trudging up the hill behind you, and being jumped by a breathless goodness and mercy pursuing you. And again, understand, the Good Shepherd is pursuing us not to punish, not to hurt us, but instead is pursuing us in love with goodness and mercy to invite us into a Christ-centered life. God's goodness and mercy come to us in a variety of ways. For me, I met one over 30 years ago and the other 3.5 years later. I met them in hospital delivery rooms. Being a parent isn't always a picnic. Responsibilities. Got to get money for college. Lord have mercy. Supposed to be a good example, plans to be made, conflicts to be managed, hurdles to get over. Teenagers, you understand, aren't always in the best of moods. I know that's news to some of you. And communication. My mother used to say to me, Bill, a penny for your thoughts. And more recently, parents say something like, Earth to Lori, Earth to Lori, Earth to John, come in, please, come in. And perhaps you've heard about the mother who told her minister about her son who was home from college for the summer. She said, I asked my son, how are things going? He said, good. And I said, how's the dormitory? And he said, good. I said, how are your studies going? He said, good. I said, well, have you decided on a major yet? He said, yes. I said, what is it? He said, communication. And so it goes. Sometimes it seems like we're on two different planets, parents and children. And yet, not long ago, someone asked me my children's names, and I told them my daughter is named Lori and my son is named John. But then I told her without hesitation, sometimes we think of them as goodness and mercy. For others of you, goodness and mercy are manifested in other ways, through friends, in meaningful work, a fulfilling hobby, a church family. Yes, in a multitude of ways, the Good Shepherd pursues us with goodness and mercy. Old friend Psalm 23 reminds us that the Shepherd leads us to a quiet place where we can rest and be refreshed. Jesus tells us about the shepherd who, when one stupid sheep strayed from the fold, this shepherd left the 99 out in the wilderness and pursued the one, Luke's gospel says, until until he found it. And in our other scripture reading from John's gospel that Mike read, Jesus said, "There are other sheep who are not of this fold. I, the good shepherd, go to seek them as well." And this same shepherd says, "I lay down my life for my sheep." Yes, my friends, there's no limit to the good shepherd's pursuit. His goodness and mercy not only follow us, but also pursue us forever and ever with these gifts of a Christ-centered life. They are gifts to us as individuals, but they are also gifts to us as a church. I want to close with a story from William Willimon. Understand, he's a Southerner like me, and Southerners don't always let the truth get in the way of a good story. But there's a lot of truth in this story. Willimon tells about an old man, a very mean old man, who lived in a small town. Resentful, bitter. Someone said his bitterness was justified. His beloved wife had died giving birth to their only child, and then the child died not long thereafter from complications. He has reason to be bitter, people said in town. Never went to church. Never had anything to do with anyone. When in his late 70s, they carried him out of his apartment over to the hospital to die, no one visited. No one sent flowers. He went there to die alone. Except there was this one nurse. Well, she wasn't exactly a nurse yet. She was just a student nurse, and she was in training. And because she was in training, she didn't know everything they teach you in school about the need for distance with your patients. She befriended the old man. It had been so long since he had had friends, he didn't know how to act with one. "Go away, leave me alone." She would smile. Try to coax him to eat his jello. Some nights she would tuck him in as he growled, "I don't need anyone to help me." Soon he grew so weak he didn't have the strength to resist her kindness. Late at night, after her duties were done, she would pull up a chair and sit by his bed and sing to him as he lay there, and she would hold his old, gnarled hand. And one night he looked up at her in the dim lamplight and wondered if he saw the face of a little one whom he had never gotten to see as an adult. And a tear formed in his eye when she kissed him goodnight on the forehead. And for the first time in 50, maybe 60 years, he said, "God bless you." And as she left the room, two invisible ones remained, breathless, whispering softly into the old man's ear the last word he would hear before slipping away into the valley. The word was, "Gotcha," whispered in unison by goodness and mercy. "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, so there will be one flock and one shepherd." Yes, friends, this good shepherd is always out seeking, pursuing, inviting us as individuals and us as a church to share in a Christ-centered life. We may wander down crooked paths, bob up and down on some raging river, but he has met us there, pursued us with goodness and mercy, even into the valley. Gotcha, said the good shepherd. Amen.